So I'm Bundle Meadows. I am in management consulting. I have been in Australia for about 2 years now through my job.
My name is Keith Meadows. I put a ring on it, so she's my wife. We're part of the Stanmore GC. So apartheid is very difficult to try and summarize quite shortly and briefly. It's essentially the minority white government basically legislated separation of people according to race. It also went into economics. Black people weren't allowed in business districts and in residential areas that have to carry passes.
Certain occupations as well were restricted for white people. So the quality of education was vastly different. Black people were not allowed to get educated past, I guess, really being able to do manual work or maybe a teacher if you're lucky.
An example of this is the land. 80% of the land was reserved for the minority white population. So it was a pretty destructive regime.
There was only so much that I would say maybe my grandmother and my great-grandmother could do economically to support their families. It was, I would imagine, pretty scary for them. I remember a particular story that my mom told me once during the 1976 June 16 riots, where the primary school and high school students were standing up against the government, who was introducing Afrikaans as the main language of teaching. Like, it's not your native language. So you can imagine just the outrage. And these kids were, bravely went into the streets and protested. And the policemen gunned a couple of them down. So my mom remembers just cowering under a desk as an 11-year-old child. I think it was very difficult for my family. It was a little bit easier for me because I was very young. I do remember as a child, there were certain places we were not allowed to go to. I started grade 2 just as apartheid ended, so at least I could have the opportunity to get a better education.
Life during apartheid for white families, and specifically for my family, was very easy. We had all the opportunities. My family specifically wasn't considered a wealthy family by any means. We had 2 vehicles, we had a house, a swimming pool, but we were not considered wealthy. What in the white community would be considered poor, and really, on the other side of the fence, you've got black people who can't afford education.
I met Keith, I guess, 4 years before we actually started dating. I met him at a Bible study.
The same mutual friend who was hosting the Bible study invited me along to Gatecrasher 30th. So I did, and I think, there was just something was different for both of us then. And, proposed to her, got down on one knee, proposed to her, asked her to be my wife, and she said yes.
I think Keith will tell you that his dad, when he mentioned that, I'm dating someone and she's black, his dad was like, so why is that relevant information? So I think my family were not completely shocked, and they were quite supportive as well. So we were very, very lucky and are still very lucky.
Culturally, it depends on where you go in South Africa. Within Joburg, you could find places where people visually show their displeasure. They'll look at you, shake their heads. Culturally, there's quite a large mix still.
Coming to a country where you are all of a sudden in the vast minority, having come from a country where you were in the majority, was quite jarring for me and quite frightening to a certain extent. But I felt the church that I went to previously and Anchor has been a safe space. What I think the church could be doing better, I think it's not so much the church itself. I think as people within the church, just it's human nature to sort of gravitate to people that look like you. C.S. Lewis puts it in you have that moment of Me Too. Humans just gravitate towards people that look like them. I think as a church, as individuals outside the church, as we live our lives, we can be intentional about having and ensuring that our spaces are not represented just by one race or even just one gender, but really making it a safe space and a good space for all cultures to be, and intentionally inviting and learning other cultures and other races.
That passage in Revelation speaks very clearly of people from all nations, all tribes, all tongues, being together, adorned in the same white robes, singing eternal praises, worthy of the Lamb. So it's very clear from that passage and from a number of other passages. Ephesians 2 is one of my favorites, which talks about the equality of every person, the equality of all people, that in the eyes of the gospel, there's no Jew or Gentile, there's no better or worse, we are all equal. And the picture that's painted in Revelation is this multiculturalism, this transcultural gospel. And so as Christians, when we're asking for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, we are asking that we be immersed in a transcultural situation, in a transcultural environment, where race, gender, age, doesn't matter, that we're all equal, that we love each other with the love of Jesus. And so what that means, I think, for us is challenging ourselves. Put yourself out of your comfort zone, go to someone else's culture and actually seek to learn. To learn the great things about their culture that glorify God. There's a lot of God's order in community, which I've learned from African culture through Bontle. I don't think I would have learned that if I had not sought to understand African culture better. The church needs to be that safe place. It needs to be the example for transculturalism, a safe place where everybody is actually equal.